sort of, I want to take these two stories of the man and Theta and Lydia and her household and talk about two concepts that we hear a lot about in terms of social justice and advocacy. And those two concepts are taking up space and claiming space. As Pride season is coming up, and as you know, I'm a straight woman, one of the things I'm mindful of, especially as I live at Church in Wellesley, is that Pride, while I am invited and I celebrate and I stand in solidarity with everyone who is celebrating that wonderful month, or at least I think it's a wonderful month, Pride is not for me. I posted an article this week as a reminder that mentioned several things for straight people to keep in mind as they enter into these celebrations. And one of the last ones was, you're a guest in our space. Act accordingly. Now, Mark and I moved to the Village 2 years ago now. Not long after we moved there, were the shootings at the nightclub in Orlando. And it was incredibly powerful and moving to be part of the memorials that happened just literally around the corner. We could actually see some of the memorial flowers and so on from our balcony. That's how close we are to that place. And someone had taken the time with stencils to paint on the sidewalks the names of the victims of the Orlando shootings. And I walked by those names every single day as I came to and from church. And that event was, for me anyway, the moment when I said, when I just felt in my heart and in my bones, this is my neighborhood. This is an event that galvanized me as a member of this community for as long as I live. Now I say it's my neighborhood because I feel that in my bones. But I also know when the street parties happen on Church Street, well into the night, again, which we could see, we used to be able to see from our balcony. We had a sound stage, a full on concert every night for a week right inside our balcony. It was great fun. And even when I've taken friends to those street parties, and you see all these gorgeous costumes and displays, and some of them are really edgy, and some of them are, I'll say, you know, push me out of my comfort zone. I always remind my friends, and I remind myself, I am a guest here. I am invited here, but this is only about my liberation so much as my liberation is tied up with the liberation of all humanity. This is about my neighbors. This is about people who have been oppressed because of their sexual orientation or their gender, which is not me. The man who sits every day by the pool of Bethesda for 38 years. That is almost as long as I have been alive. In 38 years, I have been through 12 years of school, plus university, plus a master's degree. I've been married for 11 years. I lived in probably 10 to 12 different homes in that time. I've had amazing life-changing experiences that made me the person I am today. And all of that time, this man sat every day hoping to get into the pools of Betsy so that he could be made well. And when Jesus approaches him, he tells Jesus what's been happening for 38 years. No one will help me get into the pool. And when I do try, someone always gets in before me. 38 years of trying to get that distance from where he is to the pool. And every day of 38 years, people shove it ahead of and take his place. When we talk about taking up space in social justice, we're talking about privilege. Taking up space means going into a group or into a conversation with someone of a particular experience, whether it be racism or sexism, homophobia, transphobia, someone who has had a different experience. And instead of listening and being guided by their experience, we talk. Many of us have grown up, now, when I talk about privilege, let me tell you, I grew up in a trailer in the woods, and I was raised essentially by a single mother, okay? But that single mother taught me that I have a voice, and I am happy to use it. As those of you who know me well know. And so when I take up space, I am using my voice to speak over those who have a direct experience of oppression. So for example, I may go into a meeting about the racist treatment of people in our city by our police, for example. And instead of listening to those who experienced racism by police, I would stand up and do my own experience with police instead of listening. You may hear in the news or read in newspapers about something called males. And I've seen some of these, even in tech. A friend of mine is the vice president. She's the vice president of sales for a tech company. And her company held a conference. And that company held a panel on the rising role of women in technology. And that panel consisted of three men. That's taking up space. Taking up space that should belong to women to talk about their own. And that's what this man experienced for 38 years. Now let's just say, the people who went ahead of him in line went with the very best of intentions. Let's say the most generous of them saw him and said, I see you. Let me get well first, and then I will help you. And then they don't come back. Kind of like saying, yes, we are going to make a difference and make sure that there is clean water in every indigenous community in this country. We settlers know. But first, we're going to buy a pipeline. And Jesus comes along. And Jesus essentially says to him, you know what? You don't need them. You just need me. You don't even need to get to that pool. Get up, take your mat, and walk. That's what's called allyship. You'll see in my bio on the website that I am considered an ally in the LGBTQ community. It's a role that I take seriously. I try to work with other groups as well that I see who do not have a voice in the community. That's one where I've had a recognized role, and it's one that I want to keep. And it's one that I don't want to lose. So I try to be as careful as I can. Being an ally means doing everything in your power to give someone who doesn't have a voice a voice. It means even though you may think you have all the power to make something change, you wait and you take action from the person giving you your help. One of my favorite high school students that I worked with many years ago did a beautiful essay on being an ally. And he said, if you want to be an ally, here's where you start. You find the smallest person in your class and you become their friend. You don't start by being an activist. You don't start by trying to make them bigger. You start by building a relationship and wanting the best for your friend. And so, let us be mindful of the folks that are walking past while we take advantage of the voice that we have been granted. And maybe, rather than walking past, take a step back and say, here, you need to listen to this person. You don't need to hear from me. You need to listen to them. And take a step back. Lydia does something else that's really interesting. She claims her space. Claiming space is a way of doing, of countering others who take up space. It's a way of saying, this is my place. I belong here. When Pride Parades shut down Yonge Street, that is people in our city who are often sent out of places. Places like ours, let's not forget, to say, this is our city too. That's what it means to claim space. And so we have Lydia and all of these women from Philippi. And one thing I think makes this story really interesting, Luke is telling us the story about Paul's travels. Paul travels so much. If you have a Bible with those maps in the back, look at the maps. Because those maps tell incredible stories. And so he said, so Paul goes to Troas, Samothrace, Neapolis, spends several days in Philippi. And in all of those places, the most noteworthy thing happens outside of the sea gates when he meets a group of women who have gathered by the water. It's the Sabbath. He and his friends are going to look for somewhere to pray, which I think is interesting. And this is in contrast to today. Today, we would go to the city and we would look for a Lutheran church, if you're not taking a break for that Sunday, which, by the way, I totally understand. But we would go and we'd go on the internet or we'd look through the yellow pages and we'd look for our local Lutheran church and we would go and we would sit in the local Lutheran pew and we would probably sing very similar Lutheran hymns And we even have a very similar Lutheran experience, just in a different city. But Paul doesn't seek that out, whether it's not available in Philippi, or he and his friends decide, no, this morning, we're going to take our prayers 5:01. I think this is an interesting project. And there he finds the women who have gathered together. And maybe they, like Peter, have just found each other. There's all kinds, we could talk about all kinds of things about how women find spaces and claim spaces. I don't know if that's what was happening here. Maybe this was just something that Lily did on once a week and got together. Maybe they were doing their washing. I don't know. But of all of the encounters Peter had in 4 different cities, this is the one that he faced, that he asked, that Luke tells us to pay attention to. And Paul teaches them about Jesus, and they are convinced, and they are baptized. And Lydia has brought her household with her, and she takes responsibility for leading her household, from what she's learned from Paul, to leading them into the Christian life. She takes that responsibility as the head of her household. And then Paul goes to stay with Lydia in her household. Now, the fact that she is commonly known as a widow, the fact that we are told what she does for a living can say that perhaps she did run the household on her own. We don't know. She had a good persuading, though. All of his friends weren't just jumping at the chance to go and stay with her. And I wonder if that moment is similar to when Peter goes to stay with Cornelius. If we can talk about it. Peter goes, has his vision, and then he goes and he stays in the home of Cornelius, a Roman soldier. Someone who would certainly not be welcome in the Jewish synagogue or among any Gentile gathering of Christians. And Peter goes to stay at Cornelius' house. And I wonder, and that whole moment to shift Peter's entire understanding of who the gospel is for. That it's not just for those who have grown up with the good news of the God of Israel, the God of Jacob, and the Son of God, but it is for all people. And I wonder if Paul being persuaded to stay with Lydia and her household is a similar moment. Of him respecting and honoring the place of an independent woman as the leader of a household, which at the time probably looked a lot like the local church. From staying with Lydia, the very next thing he does is free a slave girl from her owners. The slave girl was exploited as a fortune teller. Apparently by a spirit. So she probably had some rantings, kind of that kind of behavior. And her owners were able to use her as a way of taking money from people through their fortune. And Paul heals her. So she's no longer of any use to her owners, and she is free. I think that might be it. I think that's kind of interesting. But that happens right after he is persuaded to stay with Lydia and this group of women. And so this is the early church. We talked about taking that space. We talked about Lydia and the group of women claiming their space and taking the time to worship God. The church is, perhaps the church is the space. Is this the space for us to be mindful of? Because the church thrives when the outsiders, the misfits, and the oddballs claim their space. The closer the church comes to looking like the kingdom of God, with all of its beauty and disruption, the more you look like maybe that is when the church begins to thrive. And what if the church is a space that people don't have to come in and claim? We say all the time, people are welcome. And what if welcome means not just welcome to our space? What if that welcome means you are here as a member of the kingdom of God, as a child of God made in the image of God? You don't have to claim this space. This is your space. This is your space to speak, to act, to rage, to rejoice, to mourn, to dance. It is your space. Because that is what Jesus promised to us. Jesus invites us into the kingdom of God. It is our space. We don't have to claim it. Jesus died for us to have it. And that is a place where all belong. Amen.